In this week's Complaint Corner, The Last of Us, James Earl Jones, and some other shit. This is Critically Complained. Hi, I'm Adam, and this is Steve. And first, we're going to talk about the Last of Us trailer. But first, before that, this is going to be kind of a weird episode, I think, because we don't have that much news to talk about. So we're a lot of bullshit. That's what we like to call it here, is our bullshit episodes. But to start with, one of the three news topics that we have.
Before any of that, oh. Adam. Did you get me that list of anime your dad likes?
You know, okay. you know, it's funny you mention it. I don't have a list, but I do have an anime. He unfortunately couldn't remember the name of the anime. But I was asking him, my wife's birthday was this past weekend, and so we had this little party, and my dad was there. So I didn't get a ton of time to talk to him, but I got to ask him about his favorite anime. And he was telling me about this. Maybe you'll know the name of it. I'm not sure. Apparently, it's about like this, like 28 or 30 year old guy who has this like 17 year old move in with him, and she's like,
"Yeah, I do know that one."
Do you?
I don't remember what it's called. I don't remember what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
Where it's like she is like throwing herself at him, but he keeps saying no. And he's like, no, like, I guess because she bounced around from different places to live for a long time, like just by sleeping with men. And he's like, you can stay with me. Sure. And he's like, you can stay with me, but I don't want to sleep with you because it's not right. And my dad was talking about how that was the thing that he really liked about the show. Apparently he's seen the show 4 times.
oh man. Awesome.
I know. Yeah, apparently he's seen it 4 times. And the thing that he really likes about it is that the main character does the right thing, or what he perceives to be the right thing, by not having sex with this, you know, underage girl, because it is the right thing to do. Like, he could have just had sex with her. He could have just, you know, done the thing that she wanted, but he didn't. And that's what he found so compelling about the show. And apparently the last like 3 episodes, like, he just cries like a baby every time. And he didn't. Do you know what this show is about? Like, can you give me more information?
Yeah, I know the show. I just don't know what it's called. It's one of those, because fucking anime these days has long ass fucking names. I think it's something along the lines of like, I fucking quit my job, so I took in a runaway high school student or something.
Yes,
like that. Something long and awkward.
I think that he said it was something like that, I think. So, yeah. Do you know what? I have to watch this show now, purely for research purposes, for figuring out what the fuck is going on with my dad.
But he just told you there's no sex in it.
So there is no sex in it. Like, they do not have
sex. You just told me. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm just making sure. Like, because, yeah, the way he told me about it was, no, there's no sex. But like,
I mean, why even watch then? But
I don't know. See, because that was the other thing he told. This is what I was talking about last week. Where for him, it's not about the sex; it's about the build up to the potential sex. That's
yes.
That's his. That's his.
But
thing.
He should be disappointed then, because it sounds like there isn't any.
Yeah, I guess. But no, the thing that he's excited about is that the guy does the right thing. My dad is a very idealistic person. He has a very set idea of what's right and wrong, and he likes it when others validate that worldview.
Got it. He sees himself as the guy that takes in the strange child off the street.
Correct. And
nice.
Yes, he very much, which actually, like, I don't really want to go into it, but like, in too much detail, but something kind of sort of like that happened in the past, like, with less with the sex. Like the almost sex, but like, one of my brothers is technically adopted. He's like biologically my cousin.
Yes. I believe you alluded to that in a previous episode. Yes,
I probably did. It's messy and complicated, and I would prefer not to go into details.
But I can
understand why my father found this so relatable. The idea of
for the record, though, is she 17? It's not illegal over there.
Oh, is it not? Like, I
no, the age is 16 in Japan.
Maybe he just said 60, or maybe he said 17, but he meant 16. Because the way that
still not illegal.
Really? Fucking hell. That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, it's like 13 some places, Adam. You gotta fucking remember that. The world's a crazy place.
It really is. It really is. But anyway, the thing that he really likes about it is that the guy does the right thing, even though no one's forcing him to do it. That's what he is all about. He's like, yes, like people should do what's right because it's the right thing. And not for any other reason.
Got it. Nice. Yeah. Will you tell him that I wholeheartedly approve in his choice of anime? Give me the next thing he's watching next episode. I want a constant update about what things he's watching. Not something he's seen four times, unless it's Juicy, of course.
I still, like, it blows my mind that he's seen the same show four times. Like, what?
I don't think I've seen any anime four times.
Yeah, and you watch anime, like, a lot.
I do.
Fucks
in
my head,
can't
man.
Imagine I have seen any of them more than twice. Like, I have gone back and rewatched something, but I can't imagine
I've seen all of Death Note once, but I have started Death Note three times. That's like the
Do
closest.
You make it up to where
L dies. I make it to L dies, and then I stop most of the time. But I watched it, I actually did finish the show. That was like my first time actually like plowing.
Yeah, there's no point in doing that. You can just stop after he wins.
I feel like it's one of those things where, like, I'm glad I did it once, but, like, now if I ever do decide to go back and watch that show, like, I will just stop when L dies. Like, I have no interest in watching the rest of that again.
Right.
But anyway. Last of Us, that's what we were going to talk about. We were going to talk about the Last of Us trailer. That is the live-action adaptation of The Last
of
Us.
Yes.
I'm pretty famous on this podcast for having some disdain for The Last of Us. I think it's incredibly overhyped, and I famously dislike the ending of the game. I will say, however, that this trailer looked pretty good from where I'm sitting. Steve, did this trailer like do anything for you, or were you just like, eh, whatever?
Well, I'm excited about seeing clickers. I like clickers.
Yes. Like, something that I dislike about The Last of Us game, other than the ending, is how much time is spent doing almost nothing in that game. Like, there's just a lot of wandering around, picking up planks and shit. and so I'm quite happy.
Don't forget leaning ladders against walls.
Yeah, leaning ladders against walls, picking up planks, wandering, picking up, you know, going through drawers. Like, it gets tedious, in my opinion, after a while.
Well, you
like
definitely shouldn't play Last of Us 2, then, because it's way more of that.
Oh, great. Great, 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 great. Anyway, though, this show actually looks pretty good, because, like, I find the gameplay sort of tedious, or I find that, like, the gameplay is sort of split up into two sections in my head. There's the tedious gameplay, which I just want to skip, and then there's the horribly stressful fighting zombies gameplay, which I freely admit is good gameplay. It's well designed, it's fun. I like the whole inventory management system and everything. But it's very stressful, and there are times where I don't want to be stressed out when I'm playing games. And this way, I can just experience
the
story.
That's why they put those gaps in between the stressful sections where you go around picking daisies. That's strategic.
I guess.
That's why those are there.
I understand. In my opinion, I still think that they're a little too long. Either that, or maybe I just suck, and I'm not good at going to where I'm supposed to go. I don't really know where I'm going.
Straight line, my dude.
Yeah, I mean, it is very
Again,
much a straight
if you
line.
Don't like That's those true. Things, you should definitely not play The Last of Us 2, because it's 100% stress all the time, because it never lets up. It's just making you feel bad all the time.
I keep meaning to go through play The Last of Us 2.
Don't bother. I'm telling you don't need to. It's not good. It's not fun, and it's not interesting. It just makes you feel like crap for having participated in it.
Okay. God, man, you really hate that game. Holy shit.
I'm mad that it let me down.
Okay. All right.
But also, it's just not good. Like, it's impactful. It's definitely doing what it set out to do. It's just what it set out to do was wrong.
you're like it is successful in what it's trying to do, but you hate everything about what it's trying to do.
Got right. It. Well, like the first one, you know, you feel bad because it's like, man, this guy fucked the whole world by doing the thing. And it's like, oh, man. Yes. Yeah, that's a shitty thing to have done there, Joel. But this whole thing, everybody's just fucking miserable
so
all
the time.
So what you're
saying is that the shitty, like, I dislike the ending of the game because Joel does a shitty thing. And so what you're saying is that the whole second game is just that. Like, it's just one long misery fest where everyone's
doing
shitty things.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It is one
constantly.
Long misery fest. It's two different protagonists and all their supporting casts just being miserable at each other, trying to achieve their selfish, miserable goals.
Great. Yeah,
and alienating everyone around them, by the way.
That sounds just so horrible.
And
so.
You want to know the kicker at the end, Adam?
Sure, yeah.
Neither of them even do it.
Well, aren't they going after each other or something?
Yes. Yes. And they get to the final fight, and you have to fight the lady at the end as Ellie again. And you do, and you decide not to kill her, and you just part ways. And basically all that happens is that Ellie goes home and finds out that everyone hates her, and her girlfriend left her, and now she has nothing and no one. And the other girl goes home and gets kidnapped by a different gang or something, and I forget where their story leads, but none of it matters because nothing's happening. There's no resolution. It's all just fuck you.
Okay.
Wasted your time playing. Thanks for participating, jackass.
So what I want to hear more of your thoughts about this adaptation. Like,
yes.
Bring it on. Lay it on me.
Okay. Well, I think the guy that cast as Joel looks enough
Pedro
like
Pascal.
Joel. Yeah, okay. I wasn't positive that was him, but I was pretty
sure.
Yeah,
it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal. I think he looks enough like Joel where I'm okay with it. Ellie doesn't really look like Ellie, but it doesn't really matter, I guess. It's whatever. I'm worried, though, because I feel like the show is going to fall into the background white noise of it's a show about people in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, sure.
It's hard to compete with Walking Dead in its 15 million seasons.
Oh, my God. Walking Dead is over now, isn't it? Didn't they finally wrap things up?
I'm pretty sure,
like,
that's still going.
I stopped watching The Walking Dead, I think, in, like, season 4. Like,
I didn't make it past season 1.
Oh, really? Season 1 is, like, actually decent. Like, season 1 is probably the best season. So, yeah, if you can't...
Right, but I saw where things were headed, and I stopped caring, because it's like, this is an endless, endless cycle of, we go to a place, we set up roots, it gets attacked by a local banded gang of 6,000 humans.
Yes.
We kill / grab them and join the team with them, making a new batch of civilization that moves to a different part of the city, and we do it all over again.
Yeah, each season they introduce a new human bad guy. Each season they introduce a new, like, just a random assortment of red shirts who, like, stick around for a season or two and then get brutally murdered and just rinse and repeat until the end of goddamn time.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. I feel like this show is going to fall into the crack of it's a show about people. Because Walking Dead is not about zombies. It's about people who live in the woods. Basically. And every once in a while, some zombies are there. But mostly, you could replace the zombies with wild bears or fucking landmines or the pox.
Yeah, you could,
anything
you could
that can kill people off screen.
Yeah, like anything. Yeah. You could, like literally the whole point of The Walking Dead is they're just dealing with a shitty thing and they're losing their humanity along the way.
Right, which, fair is exactly what The Last of Us is.
Oh,
it's
absolutely
just that, like,
it is.
I'm hoping that it's unique enough where, like, interacting with a zombie in The Last of Us is a much bigger deal than it is in The Walking Dead. They're just walking through fucking knifing guys in the forehead, just bop, 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 not even breaking stride. Whereas The Last of Us is like, okay, I have 3 bullets, there's 6 clickers in this room, and I have a stabbing weapon that consists of duct tape and half of a pair of scissors. What am I going to do?
I have a feeling, like, as much as I generally dislike The Last of Us, I absolutely love the clickers. Like, I just, there's something
that's really cool.
They're really cool and they're really scary. And they lead to some really cool scenes. Like, I love the idea of them being blind. So you can, like, have an entire, like, suspenseful scene where you're in this abandoned building, slowly walking your ass through, like, an army of clickers. And as long as you don't make any sudden movements or, like, loud sounds, you're relatively safe. And, like, I imagine that this show could have an absolutely incredible, like, clicker avoidance scene. Like, I really think that, like, if they could lean into how terrifying the clickers are, like, this show could be absolutely amazing. Like, I'm excited for that just by itself.
I don't want the big zombies, the fucking, like, super thick clicker,
the bloaters,
that, like, throws bombs.
Is that what they're called?
I don't remember.
I remember
those guys. I don't want
about.
Them to show up. I'm a little worried that it's going to go one of two ways with this. They're either going to have one clicker one time in, like, the second half of the season to really show how dangerous that particular one is, or they're going to, like, throw them in every episode and they're going to become just the zombies of the show. Because, like, they're like the fucking, they're like the diamond pickaxe of this game. It's the recognizable feature of this particular game. But it's like, you can't use them in everything because that devalues the spooky factor that they have for being, you know, the specialer zombie. I'm worried that they're just going to throw them in everywhere and make them less cool.
I'm hopeful that, like, it won't be like that. Like, I have a feeling the first, like, episode or two, it's going to be very atmospheric and kind of slow and, like, establishing the world, probably have flashbacks to the...
Oh, my God. This show is going to be fucking riddled with flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. So many flashbacks.
There's We're going to open on fucking drunk, down and out dad fucking Joel, and we're going to keep getting flashbacks to him and his kid, and, like, the whole prologue of this game is going to be broken up over the course of the entirety of this show.
That is, like, probably true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're going to see him fucking get up, wipe the empty bottles off his chest and his mattress and on the floor and look over at a picture of his kid, but, like, not a picture of his kid, like a picture of him and, like, a torn off picture of her face or something. And we're gonna be like, oh man, what happened to his kid or whatever? And then, like, flashback to her at soccer practice or something. And by the end of the show, we're finally going to see her get shot in the ditch.
You know, that is a pretty good prediction there, Steve. I'm not going to lie. I definitely think that there's a good chance that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I've seen TV before. I know how this works.
Yeah, yep. but I'm okay with it. I hope that this show doesn't lean too far into, like, the generic zombie tropes like that. Like, I really hope it doesn't become, like, a by-the-numbers predictable, like, oh, yes, everything is a tragedy. Like, oh, Joel, he has a tragic backstory with his daughter. Like, I have a feeling that they'll do some of that, like, because they have to, because that's what the game is.
Yeah.
They got to
fast track it for 12 episodes or whatever, too, so.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to get begrudging surrogate dad figure thing a rolling pretty quick.
I think that I'm guessing that Ellie will probably, like, not be in the first episode, except for maybe at the very, very end is when he'll
just like Baby Yoda.
Yes, just like Baby Yoda. Exactly. Yep. It's so funny that they have Pedro Pascal playing this character. I mean, it's literally the same fucking thing. It's,
yep,
you know, it's the wolf and his cub.
Nope. Ellie shoots a gun in this show. I saw her do it in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, you know, she actually can do things. I mean, technically, Baby Yoda has done some helpful things as well. He definitely is not as helpful as Ellie is, but, like, he has his moments here and there of actually contributing in a meaningful way.
I'm going to say that Baby Yoda is more helpful than Ellie is.
Really? You think so?
What do you really remember Ellie doing?
I mean, okay, I remember her being with Joel. Remember, didn't she throws him ammo, I think, sometimes?
Nope, that's not this game.
That's not this game? Okay, all right.
No, you're thinking of Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, I totally am thinking of Bioshock Infinite. You're totally right.
Where they had a super helpful companion that was actually relevant and did important, useful things, like throw you ammo when you're running low, or throw you money, or pick locks.
Doesn't Joel at some point get, like, really hurt or something, and then Ellie has to kind of,
yes, you,
like,
do play
up
as Ellie in one of the sections. That is correct.
Yes. So she did that, and that's something.
She
that's
did do that, yes. You're right.
And otherwise, she's basically just a plot device who you have... It's just, like, the thing you have to protect and get from point A to point B, I think.
I would like to point out, though, that in her solo adventure, Jill has to save her from the final boss.
Wait, really? In her solo adventure? Wait, what...
When you're playing as just her.
Okay. Yeah. That is true, isn't it? Yeah. I barely remember. It's been so long since I've played. I think that there's a good chance that I'm going to play the remake of this game. I'm hoping I now that I have a PlayStation 5, I'm so happy about it. But I definitely want to get the remake of the first game because like it's been a while since I've played it and it does seem like a pretty major upgrade. I don't want to buy it right now because it's like it's $70. Like, are you
$70 for a PS3 game?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes. Like, they updated it and it looks great. Like, you know, it's got ray tracing or whatever and all the fancy graphical doodads that make it sparkle. But it's just insane to me that a remake of a game that they've already remade once, they decided to make $70. That's just, that just does not compute in my head. So
no, that is
I'm
bananas.
Hoping. I'm hoping that at some point it like gets added on to like the PlayStation Plus collection, or I can get it at a discount and then I'll play.
There will be a box set tag along thing that comes out with this with the second one here to like support the show when it comes out.
Oh, absolutely!
It's gonna be like
yeah.
Here's 1 and 2 box set, fucking $90 or something.
I really hope it's not that much, but I definitely
That's $60 agree. For two and $30 for the first one.
God.
I'm not saying that's a good deal. I'm just telling that's probably what it's gonna be.
I'm sorry. Let me try to get back and finalize my thoughts on this trailer. I really, really love Pedro Pascal, and I was surprised at how much like Joel he really looked. And I'm very fucking excited to see Clickers in live action. And but like overall, I think that this trailer was pretty solid, and I'm pretty hopeful for this show. Like, luckily for me, I don't hold The Last of Us in like the ridiculously high esteem that most people do. So like, I have a feeling that I'll like this show more than most of the diehard fans because I'm not a diehard fan. So like, I can just kind of take the show for what it is. I'm quite looking forward to this. I think this has the potential to be incredible. And if it's not, and if it's just like kind of cool, like I love Pedro Pascal and anything he's in. So like I'll watch it just for him. So I'm excited for this. I'm quite looking forward.
Well,
to it.
I also am moderately interested in checking this out. So we'll see how that goes. But let me ask you this, Adam, do you think that they are going to change the ending?
No, I don't. They might change a lot of the issues I had with the ending is I just wanted it felt to me like they were setting it up to be a choice that I would make and then that's not at all what happened I don't think that it'll be as frustrating this time since it'll just be a show and they will just present to me the story instead of me being like no I want to do something else and like feeling like frustrated over that and maybe they'll alter it slightly to make it a little bit more palatable to me. Like I'm trying to remember the specifics of how it all went down in the game. Like you're in a facility and you figure out that she's gonna die and then you just start murdering everybody and that's I don't know, maybe they'll make that less like intense or dramatic or less of a heel turn. I don't know. But I definitely think that this show is going to end with Joel finding out that Ellie has to die in order to get the cure and him making the choice to say fuck you and fuck that and saving Ellie. And then they're going to like walk off into the sunset together. Like that's I can pretty much count on that being the end of the show, which is whatever. Fucking fine. I still don't like that as an ending. I still find it cliche and boring and dumb, but whatever.
All right.
Yeah. What do you think, Steve? Do you think
I don't know what's cliche about it?
It just seems so. I don't want to get into.
Do you know
it.
A lot of other stories where that happens?
I can think of a few other stories where the thing that you were told you have to do the whole time, it turns out you don't actually want to do it. I think the Spec Ops: The Line did that. I think BioShock Infinite did something similar to that. I think the first BioShock did something very similar to that. I'm trying to think of other examples.
That just sounds like plot twist.
To me, it seems obvious to me. I don't know. The idea that it's that you are trying to do one objective the entire time, and then you find out very close to the end that that objective is not actually what you want. Like, I've seen that. I know I've seen that, like, 1,000 times. I just can't fucking think of an example.
I mean, I guess. Vaguely, that's a very broad story structure point you're latching onto, though.
I suppose that's true.
There's only two outcomes at the end of a story. You do the thing or you don't do the thing.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to move on from The Last of Us now.
All right.
And so our next piece of news is that James Earl Jones, who is not dead, at least not yet, unless he just died, but I don't think so. But James Earl Jones has officially retired as the voice of Darth Vader. And in addition to that, he has given his official permission and blessing for Lucasfilm to continue using Darth Vader as a character and to use impressionists, AI voice generation, and archive voice footage of himself. Is it voice footage? Voice recordings of himself to continue to have Darth Vader be in future projects. And it's sad. It's sad that James Earl Jones won't be doing it anymore. But at the same time, I mean, the man's, like, old as fuck. And honestly, I think that his performance in some of the more recent things that he's been in has been less than great. The one that really stood out to me was not Darth Vader, but Mufasa. When he played Mufasa in the live-action-ish remake, he sounded very tired. He sounded
very... It's been, like, 30 years.
I know it's been 30
years. Cut the man some slack.
I'm not upset with the guy. I'm not, like, saying that, like, he did a poor job. But I definitely think that, like, if you compare the lines that he read in, like, the original Lion King to the one that he read in the new one, like, he's clearly more tired. He's less emotive. Like, he sounds like an old man. So I'm perfectly okay with him deciding that, you know what, I'm old, it's time, like, you know, you guys can just kind of do your own thing, but I'm done doing voice work for a while, at least with, like, these. Maybe he'll be in some things, but he's not going to be Darth Vader anymore. And I'm okay with that. And I'm glad that, like, he was able to do it on his own terms, so to speak. Or at least I assume so. Maybe he was, like, pressured into doing this. I mean, I don't know shit.
I feel like it's probably okay for him to stop, but I also feel like it's not going to matter that much because, like, how many more things can Darth Vader appear in?
Oh, he can appear in plenty more things.
Okay, how many more things should Darth Vader appear
in? Okay, yes, that's a better question. And the answer is not that many. But I think there's a decent chance of him being in the Fallen Order sequel.
He's going to be in the Ahsoka show.
Oh, shit, yeah, he could totally be in the Ahsoka show. What do you think would be better? Do you think it'd be better if he showed up as Vader in the Ahsoka show? Like, this is going to be, like, Ghost or whatever, because he's dead already in the Ahsoka show. But, like, they could just have Ghost Anakin show up, which would probably be fine. But it would be kind of interesting if they had, like, Ghost Anakin who occasionally switches to, like, the Darth Vader voice. I think that could be very cool. I would really like them...
I mean, it would be weird considering he doesn't even show up for his own fucking son, so...
You know, actually, he does... There is a book in which Anakin meets Luke at, like, as a Force ghost. That, like, it has happened a couple of, like, you got to see him once at the end of Return of the Jedi,
and then
there is another story that takes place, it's like 20 years after Return of the Jedi, where Anakin and Luke have a brief conversation, which was a very awesome scene, by the way.
Is it like in the Clone Wars when they go to the whatever planet and Qui-Gon appears to Obi-Wan?
Kind of like, yes, very similar to that, as a matter of fact, yeah. It was a Force vision that Luke was having, and it was a Force vision that was actually on Exegol. Luke was on Exegol, and he was running away from these Sith, like, creatures that had lightsabers. He was trying
Sith
to fight them off.
Creatures with lightsabers?
Yeah, it was like these... they like weren't living. It was like Sith like shades that were chasing after Luke in this vision that he
Sith
was having.
Sith Nazgul.
Yeah, yeah, basically Sith Nazgul. And then Anakin showed up as like this beacon of light with his lightsaber, and he like fought them off, and then he had a
like Luke does.
Like a four-line conversation with Luke, and then Luke's vision ended, and he was back where he was.
Wait, that's it? That's fucking bogus.
I was hoping for a little bit more than that, if I'm being honest, but it still was a pretty cool scene, and it was nice
like,
to...
They can't just, like, use the Force to channel these guys, like the fucking Avatar state or something? They can't talk to these guys on purpose?
It's not as simple as that. Why it's not as simple as that.
Why can't you just call them?
Because the Force is mysterious, and whatever. The Force
well,
is
it just
mysterious.
Feels like those Force ghost guys are independent entities that can just kind of do whatever they want. It feels like they could maybe show up and be a fucking father for once.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more complicated.
Hey, son,
than that
sorry I cut your hand off. No hard feelings, though, right?
All right. Like, we can start to dig into this. When
you
want to
go to a ball game, sport?
When Jedi die, they are join with the cosmic force.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the Yoda episode.
Okay. But when they do that, like, they get a very altered perception of time and reality, and everything is very vague and complicated. And I get the sense that the force ghosts only show up when they're, like, not so much fated to show up, but, like, when it's appropriate for them to show up. It's like they know on like this instinctive level when they're needed, and so like they're not just gonna show up just because you call for them. Kind of like how at the end of Obi-Wan, like Obi-Wan had to be like willing to open himself up to the Force before Qui-Gon was able to or willing to like present himself to Obi-Wan. It's like certain parameters have to be met, and we as the audience and the people in universe don't really know what those parameters are, except for the Force ghosts themselves.
They should probably tell somebody then.
It's not that simple, Steve.
Why not?
It's
if they're going to show up and be like, hey, here's what's going
to happen.
It's meant
to be mystical and mysterious, goddammit. It's meant to be mystical and mysterious and not have like rules to it. You can't think of it in those terms.
Well, you know, that Qui-Gon Jinn guy was a pretty strict man of science. I feel like he'd probably be willing to share some of that perspective with us.
Okay. Whoa. Qui-Gon Jinn was absolutely not a man of science. Just because he talked about metachlorians one
time.
Okay,
he was a man of studying how the Force worked.
That is true. I will give you
So he should be more than willing to pass on that knowledge then. You know, like a proper researcher.
I mean, he did. He passed it on to Obi-Wan and he passed it on to Yoda. But they had to be, like, spiritually ready to accept that knowledge. It's not as simple as do this. Like it's
he should write it down
more
in the ghost book so people can just learn how to do it.
Oh my god, you're just being obtuse, Steve. That's all.
I want Anakin to come back and be a fucking father. He got out of it too easy. He didn't have to go to a single baseball game.
No, he fucking didn't. Also, he literally tortured his daughter. He did
do that. And didn't notice
also,
somehow.
He didn't
appear to her either. Didn't show up to her.
Did not appear to her. So actually, since we're talking about it, in another book that I'm reading, Leia kind of came to terms with who her father was, and she's not happy about it. As far as she's concerned, her father was Bail Organa, and Anakin Skywalker is not her dad, regardless of what blood says. Like, you know, family is more than blood as far as Leia is concerned, and she has
like her
no
best friend Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes, Steve,
that she barely remembers.
Shut your goddamn mouth. Yes, it's a little weird, but it's fine. Just be quiet. They had a short and intense like mentor student relationship, Steve.
Sure.
Like just deal with it.
Yeah, I took taekwondo for 2 years. I still remember the guy's name.
Yeah, and she know what are you talking about? She knows his name.
I probably recognize him on the street is what I'm saying.
She does recognize him. She sends the message to him. She knows who he is. you're just being obnoxious about this. Like, no, no. Oh my God.
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's true. Also, Star Wars retcons are like a part of, it's just a part of how Star Wars works. Because Star Wars is an ever-evolving narrative. It's a universe.
You're just a little too okay with accepting that, I think.
I am completely okay with retcons. I just don't care that much. You know, there's a YouTuber, Steve, and this Star Wars Explained. Are you familiar with this YouTuber?
Of course not.
Okay, fine, whatever. And he talks about how retcons happen in Star Wars. That's just the nature of ongoing storytelling. And he's okay with it as long as the story being told is the most interesting story. Like, if you want to tell an interesting story and that doesn't quite line up with what's come before, but it almost does, just tell the story and it's fine. We'll just retcon it. It's fine.
What's the line, though?
There isn't a line. Well, there has to be. That's it.
Because, like, if I wanted to tell you a story that made the Jedi out to be bad guys all along and the Sith were the good guys, that contradicts an awful lot of what we know about Star Wars. So obviously I can't tell that story. So where is the line?
You could tell a story that's from the bad guy's point of view.
No. Not fucking Bridge on the River Kwai or whatever. None of that. None of that shit. Talking about, like, fucking... This is just, we change the narrative and we just,
like,
swap the names around. Fucking,
like,
Sith of the bad guys
now. Completely retconning. Well, to me, that sounds like a much less interesting story. And yes, no, you can't do that.
Okay, well, man, see, that's what I'm saying. Where's the cutoff point? What can I change and still be okay? Like,
you can
backstory
change,
shit? Can I change
you
some
can
backstory,
change backstory
shit?
Yes, you can change backstory shit. Oh my God, you're fine. Yes, you can change backstory shit. You can change, like if there's one line that contradicts a story that you want to tell, doesn't fucking matter. That person was lying in that moment. It's fine. Whatever. Like, if I can come up with, a reasonable excuse, then that's fine. That's an acceptable retcon. If you can squint and be like, yeah, I guess that pretty much works, then it's good enough.
Got it.
A great example of that is Leia knowing, like, having a relationship with Obi-Wan from years ago. That is something that was not firmly established within the narrative of the original movie. It was implied that she didn't know him, but it was never outright stated. So it's barely a retcon. It's more of just like, oh, hey, there's more to this than you realize. And it's fine. You have to let it go, Steve.
I actually don't even care a little bit.
Fine. Whatever.
I just like to wind you up a little bit.
I know, and I
you
get know, it.
Wind you up and smack you on your ass and listen to you tell me how things in Star Wars matter, but they don't matter when it doesn't matter.
Yes, that's correct. Star Wars is a mythology, Steve, and the thing about mythology is that mythology sometimes contradicts itself, and that's normal and fine. It's not a big
that
deal.
That really only matters when your mythology was written by people who couldn't communicate with people 100 miles away. Now that we got the internet, that really shouldn't be a thing.
Star Wars is about emotion. Star Wars is about what it makes you feel, and the stories, if the story being told can lead to a good feeling or a nice theme for a story, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, then minor details like her awkward message to him in A New Hope, that where she is very formal and strange with this person that she should know, just doesn't matter that much. You can come up with excuses and reasons why she's saying things in such a strange way, because she's a politician and she hasn't seen him in years, and also the fucking story of Obi-Wan Kenobi hadn't been written yet, but that doesn't mean it can't be told.
Well, you know, Adam, those are all well-structured and very cogent points.
Okay. Thank you, I think. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or
not. No, I'm not. I mean, it doesn't matter, because the whole point of Star Wars is cool space wizards, so all that shit's irrelevant.
That,
but that was a very nice thing you said.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Appreciate that.
Cool
anyway,
space wizards.
James Earl Jones is not going to be Darth Vader anymore.
Yes.
But he kind of is, though, because, like, his voice is still going to be around. It's just not actually going to be him talking. And that's, that. You know what? I honestly, that's fine. Like, I really think that this is okay, and this was the best way to go about doing this.
Man, I hope that in the future, every single property that Darth Vader shows up and uses just dialogue from old Darth Vader. I hope that's everything. Like, every time, conversation like, has to be, like, now. Fucking snapped around things Vader has said in the past. It's like, Vader, we gotta go fucking get in this time machine and go back in time and save your son from the woolly mammoth or in the cave or whatever. It's like, I've changed the deal. Pray I don't change it further. It's like, okay, thanks, Vader.
I hope that is the case. I mean, that's literally what they did with Leia in episode 9. Like, they're just Leia, we have to do this thing. Guess. And she's like, don't tell me what you think it is. Don't tell me what you think it is. Tell me what it is.
Man,
whatever
it
the
is
fuck her
such
were.
A shame that they didn't let her die in the previous movie when her death would have made more sense.
I still disagree with that, only because I think it would have been a crying shame to remove scenes that she had already filmed from the movie just because she died. I think I loved the scene of her meeting with Luke. That was one of my favorite scenes in the entire film. And if she had died at the beginning of the film, then you wouldn't have gotten that scene with her and Luke. And that's not acceptable.
I guess I wouldn't have.
Now, if at the very fucking end, like, as they're getting on the ship, as they're getting on the ship to fucking leave, she just, like, keels over and turns into space dust. Like, then, like, fine, I guess.
that would be super uncool is what that would be. It's like, I've done it. I've saved the galaxy. Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
I would rather that they had done that than they had killed her off in the beginning of the movie. Like, that's not okay with me, personally. But, yeah, it is very unfortunate the way that it all played out with Leia in episode 9. And, like, I give them props, again, for, like, I know that they did the best they could. And I did think that they did the best job possible under the circumstances. But it was still fucking awkward.
You gotta do that thing they did with Bryan Cranston in Godzilla where you just kill him off screen.
Oh my god. You mean the thing that everyone universally hates that movie for?
Yeah.
Had him die in the beginning of the movie, like 30 minutes in, off screen, and then suddenly his less interesting fucking cardboard cutout of a son is now the main character. Oh,
yeah,
God.
That's the one. That's Bryan Cranston.
That. I like that movie, but fuck. What's his name? Ford, I think, is the main character. I don't know why
cares?
I remember his
I've never seen the movie.
Name.
I have no idea.
I don't know why I remember his name, Steve, but I think his name is Ford, and fuck Ford. I hate him so much. I want nothing to do with him. This Quicksilver motherfucker. Like, no.
Wait, was that him? Was Quicksilver
It was Quicksilver. It wasn't Evan Peters. It was the other Quicksilver, the one from Age of Ultron or whatever.
Yeah. Not Quicksilver, you mean.
The only reason I remember that is because, what am I trying to say? The only reason I remember that is because in Godzilla, his wife is played by Elizabeth Olsen, who played his sister in Age of Ultron, and I just think that that's weird as fuck. And that's the only reason I know that. Anywho.
Just like the real Maximoff twins.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Ultimates universe was a strange, strange place where comic creators could just do whatever the fuck they wanted until they couldn't anymore.
Incest to incest.
Anyway, we're going to move on to our last piece of news here, and that is that EA Motive, the developer behind the upcoming Dead Space remake, which I'm very excited to play.
Yay, Dead Space.
Yes, Dead Space, has announced that they are they're in the early process of making a single-player action-adventure Iron Man game, and I fucking love that. Iron Man deserves a very strong video game. I really think that, like, Iron Man lends itself so fucking well to a video game. Did you ever play any of the, like, Iron Man tie-in video games, Steve?
Yes.
Like, okay. Do you remember the Iron Man 1 tie-in video game?
Yes.
I loved that game. Like, I know it's not actually very... I know it's not actually very good, okay? I know that, but I had so much fun playing it. I just loved flying around as Iron Man. I loved that I could, like, change where I put the power into. Like, I could, like, fully power my thrusters and go super fast. Or I could fully power my weapon systems and I could,
yes, to burn all energy of the shields, I remember.
It was just so cool. I loved that so much. Yeah, and yes.
Too bad the game sucked major ass.
It did. It did. I know that. But I have a lot of nostalgia for that game. I never want to go back and play it because I know it's not actually good. But, like, goddamn did I have a fun time playing it back in the day. And I want something like that, but actually good. That's really what I want.
It's not going to be good, Adam.
You don't think that the Iron Man game is going to be good? Come on. Nope, why? Why?
I have zero faith. You know why I don't think it's going to be good?
Why?
One, the premise is pretty flawed because Iron Man does not lend himself to a gameplay.
What are you talking about? He totally does. You can have all kinds of different weapons that you can equip or unequip. If you want to suddenly depower him, you could just have his suit fail and then you're just walking around as fucking Tony Stark.
Oh, that
for a
sounds
while.
Like fun.
Well, whatever. Shut up.
Yeah. No, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound super fun, admittedly. But, like, you can fly around. Flying is always cool and fun. Who doesn't love flying?
I'm just worried it's going to be like a movie tie-in game where it's a single fucking hallway that bends around corners every once in a while so you can take some left and right turns instead of going straight. They fill it with cookie-cutter enemies, and it's just an action-adventure game where you pew-pew the bad guys or maybe sometimes you jump over a pit or something. But I'm worried it's going to be something like that and not, you know, fun. And also, something you have to consider, EA is making it. And they fucking hate you.
Fuck. I got nothing to say to EA. Like, EA is making it, and that's never good. They did make
Jedi Fallen Order. I hope you like fucking paying for your armor colors, you shill.
They did make Jedi Fallen Order, and that game was awesome and had zero microtransactions. So maybe they can do that again? Probably
I suppose,
not.
But they were just copying an existing format that worked. So I'm wondering what format they're going to steal for Iron Man.
I mean, you know, honestly, the Avengers game actually has pretty decent Iron Man gameplay. Like, it's not bad.
Can you
bad.
Fly around in anything that's other than a room?
Yeah, you can fly around outside. Yeah,
oh, good.
I mean,
okay.
there is limits to that. Like, you can't just keep going into space. Though there is a mission where you do go into space, but that's
just
one
like Fast
mission.
And Furious 9.
Yes, just like Fast and Furious 9. But no, I really think that Iron Man could make a great fucking game. I'm surprised that you don't think that. Like,
I've just played enough Superman
options.
64 to know that superhero games don't work.
Okay, wow.
Also,
so Superman 64
I've played the Green Lantern
like
movie
25...
tie-in game. Have you played the Green Lantern movie tie-in game?
I have not played the Green Lantern tie-in game, no.
Well, you haven't fucking lived. I have piloted CGI PlayStation 2 quality on a PlayStation 3 game console... Ryan Reynolds in his ridiculous movie costume fucking doing all the Green Lantern shit, making fucking Megazords and making wrecking balls and hitting people with cars and boxing gloves and baseball bats and shurikens and miniguns and catapults and fucking all sorts of shit.
Are you saying that this game is good?
No, like, God, no.
Oh, okay. Just checking. I was like, wait, that sounded positive.
No, it had like fucking, there's basic constructs for all your regular shit. You know, there's like the shield for blocking and like, he made, like, swords or something, I think, for his light attacks. Then you could toggle specific constructs to the other face buttons, and you could have those make whatever shape you preferred. You know, fucking, if you wanted to make the big boxing glove move, that could be one of the things you tie to a button or whatever. But, no, the game sucks major dick. But, movie tie-in game.
Movie tie-in games always suck. I'm glad that we've finally gotten away from movie tie-in games. Like,
whoa,
wait, are they still making them? Like, is that still happening?
Oh,
I thought
probably
that they
not.
Were done.
I'm just saying, they're not all bad. You obviously didn't play Spider-Man the movie the game.
Oh, I play... Okay, whoa. That's, like, the only good one. Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 are the only two good movie tie-in video games. I will die on that hill.
Well, no, like, I like Spider-Man The Incredible 2, Hulk, too.
I never played The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, it's
so
fun.
I can't... I believe you. I believe that
you
that would
jump
be
around the
I
sandbox,
play...
fucking throwing tanks around and fucking picking up people and slamming them into walls and shit. Ah, it's good stuff.
I played the tie-in game for the first Hulk, like the Ang Lee Hulk that was like with Eric Bana as the Hulk. I played that tie-in video game, and that was dog shit. But it was fun, but it was dog shit.
Fair.
You can play as Joe Fixit,
though.
And whatever. Spider-Man is special because Spider-Man is perfect, and he lends himself so fucking well to a video game. It's a goddamn crime.
It's true.
He's not a good example.
Fucking
like every
swinging
other,
is just the most exciting way to get places. I don't know.
It really is. It just is so much fun. Oh, yeah. There should be a good Batman tie-in video game. There's fucking not. There are great Batman video games, but none of them are tie-ins. The few tie-ins that exist are absolutely horrible.
I'm actually not mad that there's no movie tie-in Batman games. I feel like you shouldn't, Bob. You can make a Batman game without making it a movie Batman game. I think you should.
I guess?
Like,
Arkham City is so much
more interesting than whatever the fucking plot of Dark Knight 3 was.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you that, like, you know, I love superhero video games, and I am glad that we are finally living in a time where Marvel has gotten their heads out of their head, the head out of their sand. What am I trying to say here? I am glad that heads out of their asses. Yes. I'm glad that Marvel has finally gotten its head out of its ass, and they have decided that, oh, hey, we can make good video games and make a lot of money. Just look at the Spider-Man video games, which are amazing. Both of them are so fucking good. And I want more of that. And I really think Iron Man could be not as good as Spider-Man, probably. But I really think Iron Man could make for a great fucking video game. And I will, until I am playing the game and it blows, I will hold on to my hope that this game is going to be great, because I want it so bad, mostly because of my nostalgia for that stupid Iron Man tie-in game that I loved for no good reason. So I'm excited. I'm very excited for this game.
I hope it works out for you, I guess.
Yeah, yes, thank you. So that is it for our news. So now we can just, I guess we'll move on to the Magic Hour. So I wrote down last week, Squee! And I remember, Squee was born last time, and he is a goblin?
Correct.
I think? And he was like a shipmate or something on the Weatherlight, right?
Cabin boy.
Oh, yeah, and he's immortal.
There
right?
you go.
Or
that's
he will
the important
be
part.
Immortal later. All right, so I get, like, fucking all the points for that one.
All,
I remember
full credit, yeah,
shit.
Good job.
And
I'm surprised
and
you got that
down
from just
writing
down the word squee.
That's what I need. I need, like, that thing to, like, to spark the memory, you know? Anyway. So what do you got for me this time?
Well, let me scroll down my timeline far enough. You stopped talking too quick.
Oh, shit. Well, sorry. Squee! Yeah. I remember that he's ugly, and I remember that he's immortal, and, I can't think of anything else interesting to say about
right.
Squee the Goblin.
So, somewhere between 4197 and 4200 AR, Vuel fails his rite of maturity because of Stark's meddling. He leaves the Kondo clan and influences by Stark stealing the legacy from Gerard. Karn is deactivated. Vuel wages war against his father and kills him. Phyrexia approaches Vuel. Vuel becomes the new... Evan Carr of Wrath. Volath.
Okay, wait. Is Vuel... I hope this doesn't count as my question, but is Vuel a person?
Yes. That's the proper name.
All right. Okay, just checking here. Wow. I don't even know how to process any of that shit. So what was that last thing? Vuel becomes the something
he
of
becomes
Evan
the
Wrath?
New Evan Carr of Wrath, Volath. He changed his name to
okay.
Volath.
I see. What is the Evan Carr of Volath? What does that mean?
Evan Carr of Wrath.
Evan Carr of Wrath. What is that? Is that a...
Well, Wrath is a place. It's R-A-T-H.
Wrath
it's like a mountain range, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so then I don't want that to be my question.
Well, you can't just fucking dip your toe in and not get the
answer.
God
damn it, fine. All right, so Wrath is a place, so he becomes Evankar. Does that mean, like, what, king or lord or some shit? Defender?
Sorta, I guess. Synonyms, right. I suppose.
All right, something like that. Jarl?
I'm just trying to... It's probably better than Jarl.
Okay.
Hang on, I can just Google it for you here. Evankar was the title used to indicate the ruler of the Stronghold of Wrath of Don Dominaria.
Oh.
There you
right.
go.
Well, that sounds about right. All right, and just remind me, what was some of the other stuff that happened that, like, earlier? Because that shit was complicated.
What, like, everything I said?
Just some of it. Some of it, yeah. Yes, everything
this,
you fucking
this
said,
This Yule
yes.
guy fucks up his right because of Stark's meddling. And he gets all mad about that, and Stark tells him to go steal the legacy from Gerard.
I should have asked about the legacy.
You probably should have. That's a capital letter, too.
God damn it! All right, well, fucking, what was the guy's name who became the I'm just going to say Jarl. Who was the guy who
Volrath.
Became the Jarl of Wrath?
Volrath.
Volrath of Wrath? Is that
yes.
right? That's fucking stupid. And who is what's his name again? I'm gonna write
Vuel.
That shit down. Oh, his name is Vuel.
V-U-E-L. Vuel.
Okay. Vuel of Wrath. Got it.
How'd cool. you spell Wrath?
Fun. W-R-A-T-H?
No, it's just R-A-T-H.
Oh.
Proper right. noun.
Oh, I'll capitalize it like a boss. There we go. All right, I write that down. Hopefully that'll be enough to jog my memory next
nope,
time.
Not
I don't
even a little, probably.
Hey, I did good this time, so...
Yeah, you did manage to get a shocking amount of information out of the word squee.
I don't know, man. I can't explain it to you. All right, so we're going to move on to humble opinions. I would like to go first.
Go ahead.
So, Steve, I'm gonna one or two... I'm not going to give you any more information than that, which I have two options, one or two. What should I do?
Well, first is the worst and second is the best, so I guess the second one.
Okay, all right. So I played the game Stray, which is a very cute little cat game. And in my humble opinion, because I did finish it, so hey, happy day, I actually finished a game. in my
tough.
Humble opinion, I know... In my humble opinion, Stray is a very cute game that is very fun and pretty short, which I appreciated because I'm, you know, notorious for not finishing anything. Do you know anything about Stray, Steve? Have you heard of it? Or
yeah,
anything?
It's that dumb cat game.
It's the cat game. Yep. Yeah, you're a little kitty cat and you fall down a hole in the beginning of the game. You were originally
like
with the whole... Sure, yeah. You were with a little troop of other cats at the beginning, but they don't fall into the hole, only you do. And then you wind up in, like, this sewery place. Oh, excuse me. You wind up in this sewery place, and there are all these weird little fucking, I don't know what to call, like, the creatures that are all over the place. What?
Inklings.
They're kind of, yeah, sure, we'll call them Inklings, that works. They have a different name that I can't remember.
Probably.
These little Inkling guys that are like, they look kind of like the Adipose from Doctor Who, that's what they reminded me of, except like less humanoid and more like imagine an Adipose except it's shaped vaguely like a flea. That's kind of what they looked like. And they just eat fucking anything. Especially flesh, but also metal and just anything. Like they eat all the fucking things.
Like the spooky meatballs from that Stephen King movie?
Sure. I don't know what that is, but sure. Yeah, that's probably they'd eat that too. Or they'd become it or something. And these things are chasing after you, and then you wind up in this little city, and this city is populated by a bunch of robots. And these robots have been living here for a fucking long time. Like, I would say at least several hundred years. I'm not really sure about the timeline, but, like, these robots are
Well, when
immortal.
Did John Connor get born?
yeah, I don't... No, it's no Terminator. No, these are nice robots, Steve.
Oh,
not
nice robots.
These are nice robots. apparently they were originally designed as companion robots to humans. Yeah.
Like, I've seen iRobot. I know what happens.
No, actually, it's not like that either. But they were originally designed as companion robots because something bad happened. I don't really know exactly what it was, but something for whatever reason, the outside world was uninhabitable. So humans built this bunker. They built like this city that they like, and they built this huge fucking dome around the city.
Did they build that city on rock and roll?
Yeah, sure. They built this city on rock and roll. They built the big ass fucking city. And they had these robots with them. And these robots are like, over time, the robots like gained sentience, I guess, or I think that they were designed to be like actually have real artificial intelligence. But the humans died. You cannot kill them. No, you're a cat.
That's not what I said.
You can't. Wait, what did you say?
I said, can you fuck them?
No, you're a fucking cat.
Not
Steve.
You, the cat. You, a person.
Oh, you the probably not. I don't think you'd be able to fuck them. As far as I can tell, no.
Okay.
Because they have like old timey, not old timey. Wow, like old school monitors for heads, like the kind of shit you'd see
like
in the
CRT
90s.
Monitors.
Yeah, kind of like that. That's what they looked like to me. Right. And as far as I can tell, no, you can't fuck them.
Okay.
But humans, they built this bunker, and then within a few hundred years, all the humans died. But the robots were still around, and the robots just keep going and recharging and whatever. And they miss the humans. They kind of treat the humans as like precursors almost. Like they have a lot of love for humans, but they also don't understand how humanity actually worked. And all of them are kind of pretending to be human. Like you have vendor robots, and like one of them likes knitting. And one of them they can drink, but I don't think they can actually drink. Like, I don't think that they consume anything, but they act like they can drink and they behave like they're drunk. And it's all just like this means of copying humans as a way of trying to keep them alive in some way, which is very sad, but also kind of beautiful at the same time. It's quite, I like it.
It sure is nice to have apocalypse where there's still robots left and they want to try to keep our memory alive rather than, you know, black out the sun and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, actually, speaking of blocking out the sun, this dome thing that you're in, it blocks out the sun.
Oh, okay.
but it's just a dome, you know, like, what the goal of the game, because you get this little robot companion, I'll come back to him in a second. But the goal of the game is to get to the outside and to open the doors. Like you open the dome at the end of the game and let in the sun. And like, it's been so long that most of the robots don't actually believe the outside exists. They just think that all of existence is within this dome.
Ah, sure.
And the outside is uninhabitable or scary or dangerous or it might not actually exist. But anyway, so you as a cat, now that you're in this city, you find a little robotic companion. It was this this AI intelligence that was like living inside the network for like several hundred years. And then he is able to, with your help, get downloaded into like, you know, like you know that little flying thing from Flubber? You remember that thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Weirdly,
it's
yes,
a
I do.
lot like that. It's very similar to that. It's about the same size, and it is able to talk to you, and he kind of recruits you to go on this mission and, you know, open the doors and get outside and save the city, whatever. And you're just a fucking cat, and you don't talk. You just follow along and do what you're told, because apparently you're like the most intelligent cat of all time, which is whatever. That's fine. The city is broken up into three distinct sections. The first one is like the slums. And honestly, that's my favorite section. There's a lot going on there. There's a musician robot who doesn't have any songs. You have to go and find songs for him. Which Megan and I did. Oh, I should also mention that I played this game with Megan, and it was a lot of fun to play together. And your robot companion, it has memories, but it can't quite access them for some strange reason. So you can go around.
So it's totally evil.
No, it's not. Oh. You can go around to different sections of the city and like go to like a certain area, and then memories will start to come back. And I imagine that there's something that you can unlock for getting all the memories. We didn't do that. We tried to, but we missed a few, and like you can't go back because there are specific areas where you collect these memories.
Oh.
But turns out that this little robot companion of ours is actually a AI reproduction of a human brain. Like, it used to be a man, but then he like uploaded himself into the network and then just stayed there for like a stupid long time until we downloaded him. And he was like a scientist, and he was the one who was trying to figure out how to open the doors. But I think he was like one of the last humans left at that point. And he realized that there was no way to do it within his lifetime, I think. So that's why he decided to upload himself. But the slums is my favorite part of the city. It's just, it's so dense and well populated, and there's so much to do, and it's so cute, and I quite liked that area. The second area is like, is more city like. Like, it's not it's all one big city, but it's more of like a downtown area, I think. And this one is a lot more intense and strangely smaller, which confused me. I assumed it was going to get bigger, not smaller. And this second area, there's like a police. Like, some of the robots have decided that they are policemen. And these policemen are completely convinced that the outside does not exist. And anyone who talks about the outside should just shut the fuck up. And you're there to try to find this one robot who is like obsessed with the outside. You eventually do find her, and you're working together for a little while, but then the two of you end up in prison, and then you break out of the prison, and then you are able to work together to get to the last section of the city, which is like, that's the area where there's like no robots, no sentient robots have been there like at all in all this time. So it's like pristine. It basically just looks like a giant like hotel lobby. Like, it's just, and there's like a handful of robots around, but they're just like they're just scrubbing one section of glass forever. And or like one of them is just sweeping one section forever, like, because it's just stuck in a loop. And it can't break out of that, and these are like the basic companion robots, not like the upgraded ones who could actually reason that the other ones were. You're in this area, and you are trying to open up, you get to the control room, and you're trying to open up the door, but then, sad face, your robot companion realizes that the only way to open up the dome is for the robot companion to sacrifice himself. So that's exactly what he does, and it's quite sad, and you lay down next to him, and it's so sad and cute, and then you go outside, and the game ends. And
wow, that's the whole like game. The opposite of The Last of Us.
Yes, it's a surprisingly optimistic post-apocalyptic game, and I quite enjoyed that, as a matter. I like it when games are not just doom and gloom all the time. Like, you're just a fucking cat, and you go on this cute little adventure to open up the doors and prove to the nice, safe, non-murderous robots that the outside is real, and that they can enjoy the sunlight just like everybody else. And that's like literally the whole game. It's very fun and it's very cute. And you can do all kinds of fun little cat shit. Like, you can scratch at fucking like couches and shit, and you can find different spots to nap. And you can knock shit off of tables.
That's very cat.
It is very cat. It's very fun. I really liked the game. It was just a
what's
was a
the
grand
strategic
time.
Gameplay value to naps?
There is none. You can just do it if you want. And like some nice music starts to play, and like the camera zooms out, and you just get to appreciate the ambiance, and that's it. Like, I think maybe you can get a trophy or something if you go to all the nap spots.
Course,
I'm not sure
course,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Like, that's the thing, is the game is very chill. Like, there isn't like a lot of strategic anything going on. The most intense thing that happens, I forgot to mention this, but you get this little, there's one point where you get this little light bulb thing that attaches to your robot companion guy, and this light bulb can blow up and kill the greebly monster fluff balls that are trying to murder you all the time. You can just like blow them up with a light bulb, and that's like the most intense thing that happens in the entire game. And like that's the time where you have to be the most strategic, because the light bulb has a very short life before it overloads. So you have to flash it and then wait until they get close enough and then flash it. But at some point the light bulb breaks, and then you just run to the next section of the city and you don't have to worry about that shit ever again. And yeah, it's a very, very fun game. I highly recommend it. And yeah, that's it. In my humble opinion, I thoroughly enjoyed Stray.
And nice.
Do you have a humble opinion today?
Sort of. I don't have like a specific thing that I want to talk about, so I figure I'm just going to continue that thing from that solo episode that I did that you didn't listen to.
Oh, great. All right.
So I'm just going to give my one-sentence synopsis of some Pokemon that I like now in numerical order.
All right.
Starting up from where we left off on from number 25. So, number 26, Raichu. Raichu is a bullshit Pokemon. It's like the evolved form of the one no one wants to evolve, so I don't think anybody likes Raichu. Alolan Raichu. Okay. Fucking rules.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I've always loved Raichu, and I hate that the Pokemon goddamn anime ruined Raichu by making no one ever want to evolve a Pikachu. Raichu is cooler, and he has a giant fucking lightning bolt on his tail, and he looks dope as fuck. I love Raichu.
Alolan Raichu is way cooler than regular Raichu.
Alolan Raichu is fucking awesome, like, don't get me wrong, but I love regular Raichu too, and I think I'm the only person in the world who loves regular-ass Raichu.
You are.
Anyway, great.
Sandshrew, right. Pretty cool Pokemon. Alolan Sandshrew, pretty cool Pokemon. Sandslash, pretty sweet Pokemon. Alolan Sandslash,
yeah.
Still pretty sweet, but less sweet than regular Sandslash.
I agree. Yep.
Nidoran. Nidoran. The girl one? Eh. The boy one? Eh. Nidorina? Eh. Nidorino? Eh. Nidoqueen? Pretty cool Pokemon. Nidoking? Pretty fucking sweet Pokemon.
Yeah, Nidoking is fucking awesome, for sure. Yeah,
I'm always confused by the fact that he's a poison type. I don't think I ever pictured that as a kid, as him being poison. Poison to me always meant, like, snakes and bugs. It was always weird he was poison. Never really clicked in my brain. Clefairy is lame and always has been. Clefable is equally lame and always has been.
Yes.
Vulpix, fucking cool Pokemon. Alolan Vulpix, sweet Pokemon. Ninetales, fucking awesome Pokemon. Alolan Ninetales, still awesome Pokemon. Jigglypuff is from the show, and that's all it's got going for it. Wigglytuff is lame. Zubat, fucking annoying Pokemon. Nobody likes Zubat. Golbat,
no
fucking ugly-ass Pokemon. Nobody likes Golbat. Oddish, lame Pokemon. Gloom, fucking ugly lame Pokemon. Vileplume, just lame Pokemon. Paris,
I like
forgettable as fuck. Parasect, fine. Ugly and forgettable as fuck.
Yes.
Venonat,
yes.
Okay. Venomoth.
Yeah,
I forgot this was a Pokemon. Diglett.
Okay.
Sucks. Alolan Diglett. Lame. Dugtrio. Uninspired. Alolan Dugtrio. Pretty hilarious, but still stupid.
All right. Yep.
Meowth.
I agree with that.
Iconic and lame. Alolan Meowth. Fucking stupid. Galarian Meowth.
Yeah.
Cooler than the other two, I guess. Persian. Mm. Not interested. Alolan Persian. Not okay. Psyduck.
Bacalari.
Iconic Pokemon. Golduck. I'm the only person in the world that likes Golduck, I think.
I like Golduck, too. I do. Golduck is fucking sweet. Yeah. Yes.
Mankey. Forgettable, unfortunately, but kind of cool. Primeape.
No.
Ash never got that Primeape back from that guy. He got a Primeape and then gave it away to that guy to train, and we never saw it again, and it's been decades. So... That primate's lost his prime by now. That's a nothing now. Growlithe, pretty cute Pokemon. Fucking Hisuian Growlithe. Arcanine, awesome Pokemon. Hisuian Arcanine.
Yes.
Lame Pokemon.
I don't know anything about that one.
He's got like a fucking bowl cut that covers his face. It's stupid.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Poliwag, cute Pokemon. Poliwhirl, fucking weird looking Pokemon. Polly Rath leans towards cool Pokemon, I feel.
I will never understand how Polly, what is it, Poliwhirl and Polly Rath are like two different Pokemon. It just looks like one is slightly more angry. Like,
it's way buffer. It looks totally different. What are you talking about?
What? It's just slightly bigger and angry.
It's so much bigger. Poliwrath is the size of a man. Poliwhirl comes up to like your fucking calf.
That evolutions should look like distinctly different each time. That
nobody could ever. Okay, first of all, evolutions should not look distinctly different. If anything, they should be very similar to their previous form. And nobody has ever confused a Poliwhirl and a Poliwrath before, ever.
That is
not never happened.
That is just not true.
Has never happened. It's impossible to confuse them. They look almost nothing alike. They have a similar theme, but they look nothing alike. Abra, awesome Pokemon. Kadabra, awesome Pokemon. Alakazam, S-tier Pokemon. Mega Alakazam.
Yes.
Less good. Fucking less good, but still good.
I love Mega Alakazam. No way. That's fucking dope as shit. I love that. All right.
I'm not offended by it, but it's kind of...
Spoons.
Spoons. Yeah, he's ready for ice cream. Machop. Machoke. It's getting too sexy. Machamp. It's too sexy for me. I don't like it. Too much like a man.
Okay. Yep. I mean, that makes sense.
Bellsprout. Sure. What that mouth do? Weeping Bell. What that mouth do? Victory Bell. No, thank you.
All right.
Tentacool.
Sure.
Tentacool is the Zubat of the sea. Nobody's interested in Tentacool. Tentacruel was in that one episode of the anime that one time where there was a fucking kaiju-sized Tentacruel from all the pollution in the lake, and it's never been addressed again.
That's your only takeaway from Tentacruel,
yeah,
is that there was one episode.
It.
Okay, all right, just checking. All right,
Geodude is iconic, but not that interesting. Alolan Geodude, not very interested. Graveler, pretty iconic, I guess. Alolan Graveler, not interested. And we're going to stop at 75, I think. Stay tuned for 76 onward.
Sounds good. That was very enjoyable for me. So like, yes, let's keep that.
No, you know what? I only did 25 the first time and I did 50 this time. So I want to get even. So do I do another 25 or do I just do 50 again next time?
Do 50 again next time.
Okay.
That's what I'd say. Yeah.
I don't like that. It's weird.
All right. Well, that's, do you have anything else to say? Or you
no,
good?
In my humble opinion, those things I said.
No, fair enough. All right. Well, those were the complaints this week. If you can't complain, share it with your friends. Bye!